This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a complete farce that the committee had them at number 9 last week. They should have been a couple spots higher last week. And then they, you know, despite not looking very good against Utah, they get elevated to number 6. And I think that was the committee sort of saying, like, okay, yeah, we screwed up on BYU last week. We got it right this time around. And so, like, I think the general reaction was like, oh, okay, well, they got BYU in the right spot. I'm still not sure BYU is in the right spot. Like, I get if we're, like, victims of the moment. They didn't look good against Utah. Totally get that. But if we're looking at, like, what they've done, I mean, they've actually put it on the line against some teams. I mean, their road win against SMU, that's looking like a really, really nice road win. And then they, like you said, they absolutely killed Kansas State. That looks like a really nice win, too. I think if BYU gets to 12-0 and goes into the Big 12 championship at 12-0, I just don't see how you knock them out at that point. I mean, at that point, they would probably be ranked about 4 or 5 in the country, sitting at 12-0 with a road win at SMU, which might be your ACC champions. I think it would be really hard to keep BYU out of it if they were to lose in the Big 12 championship game. Now, I don't know what that who's that going to bump out. I don't know. I mean, you know, we're starting to get into some pretty tough conversations at that point. But I just, like, you know, we're talking about 11-1 Indiana here. I think there is an avenue for 11-1 Indiana to be in the playoff. But if the choice has to come down to an 11-1 Indiana that lost to Ohio State and has no top 25 wins, or a 12-1 BYU that won at SMU, that beat Kansas State, that got to its conference championship game, to me, it's a really easy choice in that hypothetical. It's 12-1 BYU that's in, and it's 11-1 Indiana that's out. If it has to come down to that, to me, that's an easy choice.
Blake, safe travels, my man.
Okay, thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. All right, when we come back, let's take a break. Let's get into the list. We haven't gotten into Monday Night Football. We got the Cup returning. The Grizzlies going for their first ever Emirates NBA Cup win. Of course, they're taking on the hated Golden State Warriors. We'll talk that. We'll also get into our cards during hour number 2. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called the list. Let's fire it up. Let's put Washington Commanders. All right, Tim, I know as a former employee of the radio station owned by Lucifer incarnate, Dan Snyder, we've given up our Commies fandom. But let's go back to 4th-and-2 at the 25, correct? Down 12-10. They make the decision to go for it, and they don't get it. I know that's kind of a process over, you know, a process over result. I just was really surprised with it being a 42-yard field goal. I know you've got a replacement kicker in there in Zane Gonzalez, but it's just very rare that you see someone have a chance to take the lead in the fourth quarter and not do it. What'd you make of it?
I had a bigger issue with the previous two plays where they just rammed Brian Robinson right up the middle and didn't get creative at all. So, you know, that's what Dan Quinn, it's kind of, and obviously it didn't have the same level of impact, but it reminds me a little bit of when Dan Campbell went for it in the NFC Championship last year. That's what Dan Campbell had did all year, and they went for it, they didn't get it. Here, that's what kind of Dan Quinn and this Commanders offense has done. They've been aggressive this year. So I didn't have a necessary issue with the play. The play call was an absolute disaster. You had a pulling guard knocking the ball. Jaden Daniels is it looked like confused. He runs and gets strung out. But I didn't have a massive issue with the decision to go for it. As you pointed out, it was a backup kicker. We had already seen Jake Elliott miss two field goals and an extra point. So clearly there was some voodoo out there regarding kickers yesterday or last night, I should say. But yeah, I didn't have a massive issue. Certainly you don't see it all that often. But I do wonder if Dan Quinn, who, if anything, is a very good defensive mind, right? And I think he's earning his stripes back as a head coach, I think he knew that his defense was going to be in trouble. And we saw it. The dam broke when they didn't get that. It was over. The Eagles went with two explosive plays, and bada bing, bada boom, they won, they covered. And feel bad for anyone who had Washington because it felt like they were the right side. So I didn't have an issue with the play call. I didn't have the issue with the decision. I did have an issue with the previous two play calls. Second, and if you know, and here's the thing, Jeffrey, is like, if you know you're going to go for it on fourth and one, then do something different on second or third down, you know?
Yeah, it's where I always just struggle. Like, I know criticizing play calling is something we can see, but it's like, I just always assume everything now is an RPO. And so I never know, like, was that really like they had a chance to take a shot and Daniels chose to give it? Like, I never know what to do. I'm with you. I think the other side of that equation is the Commanders' offense had not really moved the ball. They had that one good possession where they get the touchdown. They haven't really moved the ball. They got the field goal based off that questionable pass interference call at best. It was almost like, how many more times are we going to get down here? We might as well try to get as many points as we can, because as you point out, I think he could sense, hey, they were not going to be stopping the run very much more.
No, and man, I know you're a Giants fan, not to put salt in the wound.
But man, it was the worst. Thank you, Giants. Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that it was documented on Hard Knocks when, you know, John Mara walks into the office of the GM and is like, so what are we doing with Saquon? He's our number one jersey. Hope he doesn't go to the Eagles. And, yeah, he is awesome. And, you know, I'm happy for Saquon Barkley. I mean, we knew how good he was coming out of college, warranted the second overall pick in the draft. But injuries obviously had derailed him to an extent. My goodness, that dude is such a freak. And when he hits the hole and there's space, good luck, man. I mean, even on that screen pass on the drive where that was the one that ended, I think, in a field goal, if I remember correctly. But they were struggling, and they just dropped off a screen pass. And one guy tried to make like a, you know, grab him from the side. And it was like, what are you doing? Come on now. You're not going to touch me. He's incredible, man.
The only solace that I have, and it sucks because – like, Philly's the team I like the least in the division. Like, I die, Eagles die. Like, it's by far my least favorite fan base. But do you really think the Giants are a whole lot different if they're on? You know, to me, it's like when everyone does the Giants and then everyone does the Titans with Henry, it's like if you're playing the Giants and we have Saquon, you know, okay, all you got to stop is Saquon. So Saquon probably doesn't even have as good of a year. And I think the same holds true. The same holds true for Henry with the Ravens. It's like there's so many other weapons that they're worried about defending, and that's allowed them to flourish this year.
Yeah. I'll say this about Philadelphia, because last night was a lovely result for me personally. Not that anyone cares about my betting personally, but their defense is the best part of that team. Their defense is legit. And I just had someone on Twitter tell me that Washington got exposed last night. And I'm like, I don't think they did. They haven't played a bunch of great defenses. Pittsburgh, Chicago both played well against them, both pretty good defenses. Look, Washington has been over their skis all year. Philadelphia, I think, if they're able to make a deep run, and having Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and et cetera, all those types of guys, that is huge. But that defense is really starting to come into form, and I thought they did a phenomenal job on Daniels. Daniels could do nothing. There was one, I think, third down in the first half where he had a little bit of daylight and looked like, all right, here I go. I'm going to get a first down. And Nakobe Dean was right there. He's like, no, you're not. I'm going to grab you down, and you're going to have to punt the ball away here. So I came away from last night overall, my biggest takeaway was this Philly defense is the real deal.
I agree with you. In the back of my mind, I'm still a little concerned. How healthy is Daniels? Because to me, he just doesn't look right.
And
I'm not making excuses, because I do agree with you. I feel good about Philly's defense. Like, you look at it, DeJean has been a good pick. Arnold, the corner, both those guys are playing really well. Their defensive line is now starting to fly around a little bit and create some havoc. I don't know. I guess the problem that I had with the whole Commanders frauds talk, Tim, what was their win total coming
in? 6.5.
I don't remember anyone saying, like, oh, this team's now a title contender. Like, I don't view them as frauds. I just viewed them as they had more wins than we expected, because some of the teams that we thought would be good have not been good. And, you know, here they are. But, like, I never understood, like, the fraud talk. That was a little much for me.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a team that, you know, 2 weeks ago, we were thinking, I wasn't thinking, but hey, you know, this team could win the division. Could they win, you know, the NFC? This team has a lot of holes. This was a team that has drafted remarkably poorly under the previous regime. And, you know, I think once Marshawn Lattimore comes in healthy in that secondary, that's going to help. I thought overall, they did a pretty darn good job bending, not breaking in the red zone last night. Their offense struggled, there's no doubt. I know there's a lot of the Cliff naysayers.
Yeah, the second half, Kingsbury is now rearing its head. That narrative is popping up.
Yeah, so that's starting to come up. They're going to make the playoffs, and this is a team that's already exceeded their win total. Jaden Daniels, barring something bizarre, is going to be the runaway offensive rookie of the year. It looks like he's a legit, you know, quarterback. He's got certainly some issues, but, you know, this team, I like the way that, look, Brian Robinson didn't really do a whole lot. Austin Eckler caught a bunch of balls out of the backfield. Zach Ertz is having a resurgent type of year. They've got I don't know if I'd call him like a definite number one receiver in McLaurin, but he's a darn good number, you know, middle of the road number one, however you want to define that. This is a team that I think is going to be, with Adam Peters, the former, you know, assistant GM in San Fran, now running the show there, with Dan Quinn, I think this is a team that, you know, as you talked about with new ownership, it's going to be run by adults, and you're going to have an opportunity to build around a young, exciting quarterback in Jaden Daniels. But I want to go back to the point that you made about the health of Daniels. I talked about this last night before the game. Mike Sando over at The Athletic had a really good article on Monday, and it basically broke down the first five games versus the last five games prior to last night. His passing completion percentage is down 17%. His running attempts are down half. His yardage on the ground is down half. That rib injury, I do think, is still lingering there for Jaden Daniels. And I think he's going to very much enjoy this quasi-bye week. Because you got to remember, Washington's played 11 straight games. They have not had their bye yet. So I do think the mini-bye here, and then their bye comes, I think, in the early part of December. I think that's really going to be helpful for Jaden Daniels and this Washington team to get a little bit healthier moving forward.
I agree with you on that. I don't know. I guess the other thing I kept thinking about last night, and I get it, I'm not his biggest fan. I still don't trust Jalen Hurts, man. I think he's just kind of fine.
I don't disagree. I thought some of his throws were way off the mark. Look, he does some really impressive stuff. Having Saquon Barkley in that offense adds another element of dynamicness, if that's a word. But yeah, I think Jalen Hurts, look, I bet him to win the MVP prior to the season. I know it's not technically dead because they have a chance to win the one seed, but I don't see MVP. I see MVP in Lamar. I see MVP in Josh Allen. I don't see right now what we saw 2 years ago from Jalen Hurts. And maybe it could come around, and this team is good enough to win the division and I think challenge Detroit and San Francisco potentially in the conference. But yeah, I tend to agree with you. I do not see the dynamic quarterback that we saw 2 years ago. He was missing some easy throws, I felt like, last night.
Yeah, and that's just kind of what it boils down to me. It's like, now, one thing that I will say, I think they are clearly the second best roster in the NFC. And I am now starting to consider, okay, maybe the Texans kind of gave us a blueprint. Now, I think the Texans defense is good, and so not everybody can recreate it, but I think there's enough talent on Philly's defense where if you can take away the run, and basically you're going to say we're giving up the home runs, and but we're going to try to get after Goff. But like, I don't know, man. I just don't know if Philly's offense is good enough to beat the Lions, especially when you consider that game's likely to be in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I tend to agree with you, but
there's still a lot of ball left.
A lot of ball left, and I haven't given up on the Niners yet. That's my crutch. I can't give up on the Niners. When they're humming, I trust them. So I think right now we have a clear 1-2, and then it's like, what do you think of San Francisco, right? Detroit and Philly. And then it's, do you believe that San Francisco can kind of get out of this whatever start of the season is to reemerge into, you know, where they were last year, which was the best team in the NFC?
Yeah, I'm willing to give it another week. I know you're re-implementing McCaffrey, but when McCaffrey came back and it didn't look all that different, I started to wonder if, like, hey, man, maybe this is just – like, there's a reason why we haven't seen someone go to the NFC Championship game three times in a row, I think, since the Niners did it back, I think it was like 94, maybe like 93 through 95. Like, I was just kind of thinking, it's like, what if this is just kind of the year where it all kind of like, it just doesn't work out?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, the Cardinals are playing good ball right now, and you know, they're off this week, so San Francisco's got to hold serve. They can't lose to Seattle. They're a 6.5-point favorite. I don't think they will, but they can ill afford to mess around and lose another divisional game. That would be their third divisional loss, so they can't keep messing around.
All right, let's put the Memphis Grizzlies. All right, we got the Grizzlies Warriors tonight. It is on ESPN. It's the late game. It's the Grizzlies are seeking their first ever cup win. Tim, I don't have the lines in front of me. What is it? I'm assuming it's Warriors by like 9.
Let me pull it up here. Warriors, as my computer, whenever you need it to act fast, is not.
Of course, yes. I did put you on the spot there with not letting you know.
Hold on. I will get it. This is great radio. Warriors are a 7.5-point favorite.
Okay, so that's pretty similar to what we saw Grizzlies, Lakers. The one thing that I've noticed, so they've moved Edie out of the starting lineup, but they moved him back to the second line or the second unit, and he's starting to play a little bit better.
Well, we might have been gone.
No, oh, sorry. I switched into my car, and so my then of course it went to the Bluetooth, but Edie's starting to play a little bit better. He's quietly putting good performances together. He really bothered the crap out of Anthony Davis the other night. The thing that is also Desmond Bane likely to return to the lineup. He was kind of a surprise added to the injury report up to questionable when the Grizzlies put people at questionable when they've been off the lineup or off the injury report, that usually means that they're going to play. Might also see Vince Williams. I don't know. The thing that's interesting to me about both these teams is these are two teams that have largely kind of mirrored each other in the style of playing a lot of guys, not playing heavy minutes. But I think this is a big moment for the Grizzlies, because I thought they had a chance to get run out of the building against the Lakers, particularly in that first quarter, and they didn't. But there is still this idea of, okay, they've won some games against bad teams. They've looked good doing it. But, like, this is a real test to kind of see, like, all right, without Ja Morant, what does this look like? I'd be curious to know. I would think the Warriors are a fairly popular play tonight.
I would agree with that. I mean, the Warriors coming off of that crazy game against Dallas and the return of Clay and it going down to the wire and having Steph go absolutely nuclear. Looking at betting splits right now, it is interesting to know more money on Memphis, but less tickets. So that would be the bigger bets are on the Grizzlies. So at VSiN.com, the company I work for, we have betting splits courtesy of DraftKings. 60% of the bets on the Warriors tonight, but 75% of the money on the Grizzlies. So it would certainly indicate that, I'm not going to say sharp money, but bigger bets and maybe money that they trust a little bit more is coming in on Memphis as a dog here in Golden State.
The other thing to kind of watch for, Draymond kind of big brothers, Jaren at times. You know Draymond's going to be in the mix. Of course, he's probably going to get into it with Edie and whatnot. So, you know, I think the Grizzlies, despite all the injuries, I think the key for them so far is they haven't backtracked like they did last year when they started to have the injuries. They've still maintained position, and now when you eventually get Morant back, you're going to get Bain back tonight, so you got two of your big three back. It's like, all right, now we can actually see what they look like against a quality opponent. So looking forward to that. All right, we are going to take a break, but before we do that, I want to tell you it's never too early to start thinking about the big game. And this November, Tennessee's newest sportsbook, Zen Sports, has launched a brand new sweepstakes for all Tennessee customers. It's the Big Game Sweepstakes, where you can win a grand prize of two tickets to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans or $10,000 cash. And what's more is that Zen Sports is also awarding 50 additional prizes, which include two tickets to any Tennessee sporting event or $100 cash. If you want in on the action, you can earn multiple entries every day just by betting on Zen Sports. For every bet you place, you'll earn one entry. For every dollar you bet, earn an additional entry. If you like parlays, you can earn double the entries on every parlay place. So what are you waiting for? Sign up with Zen Sports, and now our listeners can sign up using referral code JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, and you'll receive a 25% odds boost when you sign up with the promo code JeffTN. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. We come back, we get into the betting cards for the college football weekend. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, we got a...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another weekend of college football. We got week 12. I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's go through your card. We can focus on yours. I got some stinky dogs. I can already tell we're probably going to be opposite sides on a couple, so hopefully we go Splitsville. All right, what do we got?
All right, so tonight I have added Wyoming to my list.
Me too.
Yeah, the border war tonight. I've actually liked what I've seen from Wyoming. I think Colorado State is a bit fraudulent. Would have loved to get 10. That number is gone. I grabbed 9 just a little bit ago. So I did grab that. Thought about betting Washington tonight. I think this is a desperate spot for them. They're 5-5. I think they know they need to win this game in order to get the bowl eligibility. I do have UCLA under on their season win total, so I will be watching this one with much anticipation. So lean Washington tonight, Wyoming plus the points. And then the other game tonight, Houston, Arizona. I don't know if you saw this. The Arizona reporter for 247 Sports put out a report saying that Arizona has the money to potentially buy out and fire Brent Brennan in year one. So things not going so well there down in Arizona. Lean Houston, but no play there. All right, let's run through the rest of the card here on Saturday. I took under in the Ohio State-Northwestern game. This game taking place at Wrigley Field.
Baseball stadium in principle. I love it. Anytime a game's at a baseball stadium, I always bet the under.
Yeah, and I think this is an ugly spot. A couple of my colleagues at VSiN, including Matt Humans, who I do the podcast with, like Northwestern plus the points. They're about 28.5-point underdog. Look ahead spot for Ohio State with Indiana next week and then Michigan after that. I feel like this is like 27-6, something like that. So under 44.5 out there would be a way that I would look. Couple other spots that we could get to. You know, some of these lines have obviously moved. I do like Air Force. That's an ugly dog at home against Oregon State. Felt like they finally found something running the football last week against Fresno State, winning as a double-digit dog. I think Oregon State could be on quit watch here. They stink stopping the run. Air Force rushed 80 times last week, so I took 4. It's down to anything north of 3. I would play Air Force in that spot. Let's get to some bigger ones. I've mentioned it already. Tennessee team total under 17.5. I love Kansas. That's my favorite play of the week. I'm in on Kansas. I bet Utah last week. I bet against BYU a handful of times this year. Took Oklahoma State in a cover situation. Bet against them with UCF. That didn't come home. But the numbers moved under 3, which I don't love. You might get the 3 back, but I do think Kansas wins this game outright. I've got a couple more, but I'll let you take the reins.
No, let's let them rip, because there's a couple we're on opposite sides. Go ahead.
All right. Not my favorite bet, but I took 7 with Navy in a spot against Tulane. Navy 19-1 on Senior Day over the last 20 years.
It's Senior Day?
Yeah.
Damn it.
But I'll say this, market is, sounds like you're on Tulane. Yeah. Market is on your side, Tulane up to 7.5 in some spots. Definitely not my favorite play. I split a unit and I took first half of Arkansas plus 7. And then I was able to get Arkansas 14 with little juice. That number has moved. I think Arkansas could be feisty here. I know that their secondary is terrible, and Texas certainly could step up big here. But there are rumors out there, I don't know if it'll come to fruition, that Sam Pittman could potentially step down after this season. I think this is a big spot for them against Texas at home. Sam Pittman has thrived in the home dog role. Give me Michigan State plus 3 at Illinois. Give me San Jose State plus 14 against Boise State. And then give me the Missouri team total under. I bet at 14.5 on the road at South Carolina. And then the last one I'll mention, I got the best of the number, so I don't know if I'd bet it now. We've seen the fired coach bump for 3 teams so far this year. That was Rice against Navy, East Carolina against Temple, and then Southern Miss covered after they fired their coach. I do not expect that to happen this weekend. I don't know if anyone saw it, but Kennesaw State fired their coach, and like 18 players are now in the portal, including 9 starters. I think this could be a disaster for Kennesaw State. They're at home. I think the players are upset. I think Sam Houston State goes in there and names the score. So I would still probably lay it and maybe take some alt lines if they're out there. I think Kennesaw State is going to be the opposite of the fired coach bump. I think they get absolutely boat raced because I think their team is very frustrated.
Okay, that's great information. Like you, I'm taking Wyoming. Like, I was just like, all right, that dog stinks so much that I got to
have a war, baby. It's a rivalry game. Throw the records out.
It's like, I got that number stinks so much. I got to have it. I got UCLA at 4.5.
Okay.
I just fired on it. I think Washington's trending backwards and UCLA's kind of found an identity and like playing.
All right, I'll jump in here for Jeffrey as he gets his service figured out here. But I think what he was going to get to is that UCLA is certainly trending upward. You think about the way they won last Friday night. I think traveling-wise, this is not an ideal situation for Washington coming off of the game against Penn State. But, yeah, I'm hopeful that we can maybe thread the needle on this one.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
now?
We're good.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Sorry. So yeah, you just nailed everything. I am worried that that's kind of a SpongeBob SquarePants dog. I'm taking Tulane. I didn't know it was senior day. I now officially hate the play that it's senior day. I just think that I've been telling you, I think Tulane's really good.
Yeah.
And I think they got the studs. Like I'm going to trust football brain versus like gambling brain. So give me Tulane. I took Arkansas with the 12 for the same reasons you did. To me, it always comes back to at SEC Media Days this summer, Steve Sarkisian dropped the quip that he thinks Arkansas fans hate Texas more than they like themselves. And then when Sam Pittman was asked about Sarkisian's quote, he said, yeah, I'd say it's about right. This is just the like hate stronger than love. Give me the points and the hate. I'll take that. Went super SpongeBob SquarePants. I think Pitt's dead. Give me Clemson, 11.5. I'll lay that. I'm with you. I took Michigan State. I laid the 2.5. I got the 2.5. I think Baylor's good. I don't think West Virginia's good. I don't care the games in Morgantown. Every West Virginia game's the same. I think Baylor's better. Give me that. I'm going to walk into the trap. Give me Utah on the 10. I'm getting 10. And Deion Sanders is a double-digit favorite. 0-3. Against the number. I agree with everything we've been talking about with Tennessee. I just don't know if Georgia's offense is good enough to blow anyone out. I'm getting 10 points. I'll take it. My Do It for America spot of the week. Give me South Carolina. I'll lay the 13.5. I hope they just absolutely obliterate them. Give me Arizona State and the points, 7.5 against K-State. That's the classic. Nobody in the Big 12 should be a touchdown favorite. So give me that. Scatterbro's back. And then I'm done trying to fade BYU. I got under a field goal. I laid 2.5, even though I totally agree. The spot says bet Kansas. But I don't know, man. Like, I think at a certain point, like, what if BYU's just that team this year? What if BYU's just that TCU where eventually they're going to get got, but maybe they'll get got in league play?
It's possible. Going to Provo is not easy. That's for sure. Anything north of 3 is where I would look. But I did take some money line. Look, I think Kansas is good. I think they've been snake bitten. They have 5 1-score losses this year. They beat the crap out of Iowa State last week. And I think Kansas, I mentioned this to Blake earlier in the show, I think Kansas has a chance to be a real menace to this conference. I think they could win this weekend, and I think they could win next weekend at Arrowhead. The Colorado game is interesting to me because I have not bet a Colorado game all year. And I kind of think this is a spot where I wonder where Utah's mind's at because of last weekend, right? Where you've got the situation of the AD making an absolute you know what of himself on the field, press conference, walks it back. Keithy, their tight end, done for the year now. Rose, the quarterback, done for the year, so you have to go back to Zach Wilson's brother. But their defense.
I love how none of us know what Zach Wilson's brother's name is. We all just go, it's Zach Wilson's brother.
Isaac?
That sounds right.
But I think the defense will travel. There's no doubt. But if you're Colorado, and we've talked about kind of the beauty pageant, right? Like, does Notre Dame run it up on Virginia? Does do other, like Penn State last week won and covered against Washington? Like, Colorado doesn't really need the beauty pageant, but Coach Prime would love for his son and Travis Hunter to get a little bit more love in that Heisman market. So I do wonder if they try to score as much as possible. And lastly, Coach Prime was very complimentary and very happy that this game was, you know, not the late night slot on ESPN. It's that big noon kickoff. So I think Colorado, I don't know if they'll be able to do it, but I do wonder if they are going to try to score as much as possible on Utah. And Utah's offense is absolute
abysmal.
Garbage.
No, the whole reason I'm on Utah is because of everything we just mentioned. You know what I mean? Like, how on earth could you take Utah this week? That's how you take Utah.
No, and I took them last week, so I got my Utah fill for the year, where you lead 21-10 at halftime, you blow the game, and then in the final seconds, you've got pitchy-pitchy woo-woo going on, and we might end up losing this bet. Thankfully, it didn't happen, but yeah, I'm curious to see that one kick off tomorrow in Boulder. Also, 10 a.m. local kick time, too. So you not only had the late-night game last week where you lose to your arch rival, now you've got a 10 a.m. kick time against Colorado. So very curious to see. Hopefully you win that one, because I imagine everybody in the world will be on Colorado in that spot.
All right, help me out here. The stinkiest line of the week is LSU, Florida, right?
I think Kansas being 2.5 is the stinkiest line of the week.
Because I don't know. I almost fired on Florida just because that line is so insane.
Yeah, I mean, I think similar. You know, when you think back to a couple teams, let's go last week.
Pitt, the only reason why I would say Florida, not the BYU's. BYU's had nothing but stinky lines the last, like, 6 weeks, and they just keep covering them for the most part.
They didn't cover against Oklahoma State or Utah, and both of those were at home. They did cover it and win convincingly
against
UCF, and I fell for that trap. But I was on Oklahoma State on a Friday night. I was on Utah last week, and I just think Kansas is good. Like, last week, I didn't think Utah was good offensively. They're very good defensively. So I think just the luck could run out here for BYU, but, you know, we'll see. That's why they play the games, and thankfully it's not an early game, so if they don't get the cover, it won't ruin my whole day.
Yeah, they weren't chasing that bad boy, yeah.
No, but, you know, back to your point regarding the LSU-Florida situation, last week we had, what, Pitt coming off of their first loss. They get beat by UVA. Iowa State gets their first loss. Then they get beat by Kansas. You do wonder, for LSU, what's their mindset following that loss in embarrassing fashion against Alabama? DJ Lagway is expected to play. I don't think he'll be 100%. Why I haven't bet this game yet is, as a Notre Dame fan, Brian Kelly, if he does one thing well, it's getting his team ready to play week after week and in these tricky spots. So I would, if I had to play it, I'd probably take the points with Florida at home, but I don't think Lagway is going to be 100% even if he plays, or he is going to play. And I do trust Brian Kelly in a spot like this where, kind of, you know, figure out a way to get back to what you're capable of.
Is there a big game we haven't talked about this weekend?
I don't think so. You know, I mean, we've got the four top ranked teams are all on the road this week, which is, actually, we didn't talk Oregon, Wisconsin. I think that's kind of an interesting game.
I was close to firing on Wisconsin, but then I just remembered, like, I hate Wisconsin's offense.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to score some to beat, like, that was the classic. I was hoping it was going to be nice and cold in Camp Randall, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, I just saw the exact same situation happening when I bet Michigan a couple of weeks ago, and I think, like, I don't think Michigan's good. I kind of think if Michigan and Wisconsin played, I think I'd rather bet Michigan.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, and I would look a little bit at Wisconsin here. The only thing that would make me want to bet Wisconsin is this is now the eighth straight Big Ten game for Oregon.
Yeah.
They have gone to Purdue, to Michigan, beat Ohio State at home in that stretch. It's just been a lot for this team. And Wisconsin, it kind of feels like Wisconsin is like the mark of demarcation there in this conference, where it's like, oh, yeah, this is where it stops, because they've got blown out by Iowa. They got beat up by Penn State, eventually didn't cover that game. But they also blew out Rutgers, blew out Northwestern, blew out Purdue, lost on the road at USC. But, you know, for Wisconsin, they're coming off a bye. Night game, chance to beat the number one team in the country. I don't think Tez Johnson is playing right. I think he's out for this game, I believe, for Oregon.
Yeah, so the reason that everything you just mentioned, though, so I covered Phil Longo. What everything you just described is Longo's career. When they play bad teams, that offense works and they beat people. But when you go up against anyone with any talent, they just go into absolute stall mode. Like, it's been that way his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, look, as a Notre Dame fan, he faced Notre Dame twice. And I think one of them, he just got absolutely pantsed by Clark Lee down there in North Carolina. So, yeah, I have not bet that one. But how about this? I'll give you a quick update on the Mike Tyson fight. Just got this from Jeff Sherman at the Westgate Superbook here in Las Vegas. 86% of bets on Mike Tyson.
Good God. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back, we'll tell your story, we'll get out of here. Stick around, listen, Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Stories, Tell Your Story, I think we'll just go with the entire, let's go with the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight. The fact that they've convinced us that this thing can actually be a fight, I guess, well done. Well, right?
Absolutely, and you got the old slap yesterday. People are going to watch, man. Watch parties all across Las Vegas. People are going to be doing watch parties all across this country, across the world, man. So shouts to this. We'll see how it all plays out tonight. I think Jake Paul gets the win, and we maybe get part two later.
I can't wait for that. All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right. See you, bud.
All right. For George back in studio, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.